Hi, Jim Gossard here with John Richardson for another tax talk. You know, John, you wrote a fascinating article, you and Olivier, in the last day or two. And it struck me that that article does a lot to reinforce the importance of pure RBT. And that's a theme we've been focusing on with, I think, rightfully so, focusing on repeatedly as we do these podcasts, that really the solution to the tax problems for overseas Americans, it's just not possible when you look at the layers and layers of problems to fix this by fiddling with the tax code around the edges and creating an exception here and a rule there, that the root cause of this problem is citizenship-based taxation. And this dilemma that you and Olivier highlight in the article about what employees face that work in the travel industry, either in airlines or especially on cruise ships, and the tax jurisdictions they fall into when they're in international waters is really extraordinary. And it's just another example of this, the whole, massive problem that we're faced with as long as CBT is in place. But if you would, please, why don't you explain what that issue is all about?
Yeah, so I'll try to keep it as simple as I can. We'll use the example of somebody working on a, first of all, number one, okay, we're talking about people who, although American citizens, do not live in the United States. They live in wherever, Mexico, they live in the Netherlands, and they're tax residents of those other countries. So for American citizens who are tax residents of other countries and earn income that's attributed to international waters, they're actually subject to double taxation on that. And the reason is, and we can go into the details, but the reason is that in order to, the usual vehicles to alleviate a double taxation, namely the foreign earned income exclusion or the foreign tax credit rules, apply only if there is foreign source income, meaning non-US source income. And the Internal Revenue Code in 863 specifically, if you can imagine, designates that income earned in international waters by any US citizen is sourced to the United States, thereby preventing the use of either the foreign earned income exclusion or the foreign tax credits to mitigate that double taxation. Think of that.
It's extraordinary. I mean, it's believable, John. That's maybe the scary thing about it. It's perfectly believable, but it's an extraordinary case. So let's say you're an officer on a cruise ship or whatever. You're working on a cruise ship. And you fall into this category, what happens to you? What is your tax obligation while you are in international waters? Your tax obligation, effectively your double tax is what it comes down to.
Well, assuming that you are taxed on your worldwide income by your other country of tax residence, whether it's Mexico or Canada,
right,
or the Netherlands, wherever. They're going to want to tax that.
They're going to want to. They're going to want to tax you when you're
worldwide income, right?
Of course.
And the U.S. Well, you're a U.S. citizen. Doesn't matter if you don't live or have any connection with the U.S. We're going to tax you on your worldwide income. Okay. But the U.S. goes a step further. And what the U.S. deliberately does in Section 863. By designating that income earned by U.S. citizens in international waters is U.S. source income, what it does is it precludes the ability to use the foreign tax paid to offset that. So it locks them in to double taxation.
Right. It's truly unbelievable. Now, let's take it to one different angle. There's a lot of American pilots working for foreign carriers around the world. I thought about this myself as when I lived in Asia, it wasn't unusual for me to, fly back and forth to the US seven times. And if you do the math on that, I mean, every one-way trip is door-to-door roughly 24 hours, roughly half of which is spent flying over international waters. I mean, theoretically, for me flying back to the U.S. seven trips a year, theoretically, I spent, therefore, 1 week per year flying over international waters. That's a considerable amount of time. What then is the situation that American pilots face? Let's say you're working for Korean Airlines, Cathay Pacific Airlines, any one of the number, and these are all very, there's hundreds, maybe thousands of American pilots in that situation.
Well, the issue arises when they're flying over international waters. Okay, now, you know, when I was researching this article, and full disclosure, I didn't know as much about this as I thought, okay, until I started researching this. I must say, it's been a bit of an eye-opener for me as well. But, you know, one of the questions is what's meant by international waters? And as far as I can determine, the waters that would be 200 nautical miles from a country's coast should not be international waters, right? Mm-hmm. So, I mean, let's look at the situation, say, an American pilot living abroad. Well, if they avoid international waters altogether, no problem, right? You know, if they're just flying domestically, for example. But now let's look at, you know, the issue of these flights across the oceans. Well, you know, the first part of the flight would still be over. I mean, let's imagine you fly from, say, London to New York, London, UK. The first part of that flight, presumably, you're still in UK territory, right? So for that part of it, there would be no issue. But the moment, and I frankly think that it's important for everybody, given that the world is now run by tax codes, I think it's probably important for every airline to make an automatic announcement when the flight enters international waters. Because don't forget that a passenger who was working on a plane.
Who doesn't work on the plane now? Everybody does.
Exactly. The moment they enter international waters, they've got a double tax problem if they're an American abroad. So that should be a signal for all Americans abroad to turn off those laptops right there and make sure they're not caught working, right?
Because it could be a signal for them to put a movie on in the background so that they can pretend that they're not working.
As long as it's not a movie that's related to their employment, okay?
Oh, yeah, right.
You know, they'd want to watch The Wizard of Oz or Bambi or something like that, but nothing that's self-improvement, nothing that's educational. I mean, that could cause a huge problem, you know? I mean, Americans are highly regulated people. Everything in the U.S. has a tax crunch. What'd you do last night? Watched a movie. Really? What movie? But no, you think about this. So the moment that the pilot enters international waters, that's where the problems begin. Okay, and of course they don't really end because, you know, when you're flying to New York, at that point it is U.S. source, etc. Now, you know, I don't know what the solution to this is. I mean, maybe pilots should, you know, maybe major airlines should recalibrate their routes. They're always within 200 nautical miles of shore somewhere. Maybe they should sell a special class of service, special class of ticket called American Class that will keep track on an annual basis of the exact number of hours that you were flying in international waters. Maybe it could be a perk with first class or business class or something like that.
Could be. Or if there were a diplomat on board, perhaps the entire plane could be designated sovereign American territory and then the foreign income tax exclusion.
You know, exactly. I mean, you know,
something like that, John.
These are very serious problems created by that tax code. And
but, you know, the article that you linked to, and not the one you wrote, the one that I think CNN.
The CNN article about the pilot.
They wrote a testimonial of a pilot and what that pilot goes through to actually track this time. And it's an enormous, I mean, anybody, I'm sure a lot of people that watch this podcast find themselves tracking their travel. And it's one of the most tedious things you have to do is file your tax return. You got to know what countries you were in, how much time you spent in the US versus elsewhere. It's a tedious job, but the testimony of this pilot talking about what he had to do to track his whereabouts and just properly get his tax done. John, it's you know, we've been highlighting this over and over again, but fiddling with the tax code around the edges, whether it's same country exemption or any one of these, so many other proposed tweaks to citizenship-based taxation, you know, you're never going to capture all these crazy things that the tax code does. And really, you know, as you keep referring to the importance of going to pure RBT, it really and truly is the only solution, isn't it?
Oh, you know, Jim, absolutely. There's no doubt about it. I mean, I didn't write that blog post or article specifically, you know, to illustrate that point, right? But
yeah.
You know, I mean, it actually originated in a real world issue with somebody. Okay, but it does illustrate that point, right? Because if you look at, you know, these proposals, which largely seem to focus around amendments to the foreign earned income exclusion, you know, and this mm-hmm. sort of thing. And it's perfectly clear that, you know, the whole purpose of the sourcing rules in Section 863D of the Internal Revenue Code is to source the income to the United States. So what good does it do, you know, to muck around with the foreign earned income exclusion? But I would also make the point that this is an issue, interestingly, only for American citizens who are dual tax residents, meaning they don't live in the United States, right?
Yeah.
So it's one more absurd example of how the U.S. imposes a more punitive kind of tax system on Americans abroad than on resident Americans. It's one more example of this. And, you know, I have no doubt, by the way, that the compliance rate on this is obviously absurdly low, because who could even imagine that such a problem exists, right?
Yeah, and that's part of illustrating some of these things. Who could, if you tried, you know, with an army of accountants?
It's impossible, yeah. Right? Impossible. You know, and I would also, I suppose, add that, you know, when I was reading, you know, putting that blog post together, you know, obviously I poked around to see what other people had written about this in any substantive way, and I couldn't find anything at all. You know, in terms of any, you know, just sort of a passing comment, you know, this is a problem. So, you know, this is something that, you know, your average person on the street would not know. I have no doubt that the, you know, the specialists at the KPMGs of the world, you know, are perfectly aware of this, you know, and, you know, advise their clients accordingly. But, you know, who deals with that group? Well, actually, the point is that the people who deal with that group of people don't deal with their taxes. You know, their company deals with their taxes, right?
Yeah, that's true. Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
So it's not even an issue for them. But, you know, on one level, it's comical. It's actually very sad, because it's another way of how, you know, the U.S. is destroying the value of U.S. citizenship. But I think more objectively and relevantly, it's one more example of why the goal here, and the only thing that's going to work for all people, all time, under all circumstances, is to move to pure RBT, namely that citizenship cannot be used as the basis for tax residency ever. And, you know, this other stuff, which retains citizenship taxation, provides certain carve-outs, meaning, well, you know, sure, you're a U.S. tax resident, but we're going to, you know, let you slip away for this purpose at this time. It's not going to work.
Raise the exclusion, same country exemption, that type of.
Oh.
There's a number of fixes, all well intended and all well thought out, and all would improve.
They're
all intended to, and they would improve the plight of Americans abroad. But you're always left with this fundamental system that'll never work.
Well, you know, it's sort of like, you know, citizenship taxation is a cancer, and you can, you know, play around on the edges, you know, you can do some short-term surgery, but it's always waiting there, you know, to erupt again. And this has got to come to an end. It has got to come to an end. And the, you know, I guess my point is here that there is no way to solve this sort of, you know, internally retaining citizenship taxation. The time has come for everybody affected by this, regardless of political affiliation, is to come together and say, this is wrong. This has to come to an end. This has nothing to do with revenue neutrality or anything else. This is simply wrong. Not, Well, we appreciate that citizenship taxation might be necessary. You know, no, forget that. The rest of the world operates without it. The U.S. can put a man on the moon. I bet you the U.S. could figure out how to have a tax system based that's based on pure residence-based taxation. What do you think, Jim?
John Richardson, as always, you're right on point. Couldn't agree more. Thanks, everyone, for watching. John Richardson, thank you so much.